This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, day 8 out on the shores of Lake Washington, and literally on the shores of Lake Washington, and felt at times today. I mean, it's a beautiful day, Scott. I mean, it's what, low 60s? Beautiful day, but boy, we got caught in a wind tunnel?
Yeah, it was windier than I've experienced it in a long time.
Is it windier out there, or is it windier in Husky Stadium?
Out there.
There's nothing around it. You know,
and you're closer to the water, I guess.
Yeah. It seemed like the wind was coming from Husky Stadium through the tunnel, and just like with me and my hard contact lenses, it was like being sandblasted today.
You're talking about that, but I saw you go in. How many layers do you have on? At least four?
No. One, two, three.
Four. And he was like, I'm going on to put more layers on and everything like that. I didn't have anything on.
Scott's,
well, I didn't have...
Let's clarify that for a second. Other than my
golf shirt and my golf shorts. That's all I had on. But the thing is, I was cold, just not cold enough to really freak out about it. And the other thing is, too, I didn't really have an option because I didn't bring a jacket. But
Us little guys, we get cold easy. Yeah. So,
for the record, I had as many layers as Kevin.
But you were in a different place, so you were up above.
Yeah, it seems like a lot more offensive firepower starting to show itself, Scott.
Yeah, my player of the day, I guess, would be Elijah Hunter. Gosh, I did it again. Can we just edit that out?
We're going to keep this going right now because this is so good.
It's a mental block.
This is what we live for. I wrote it right in the story.
Anyway, Jeremiah Hunter, the transfer from Cal, I thought he was the player of the day, although you could say Damon Williams was because he was the one putting the ball perfectly where Hunter could make the catches. But, I thought Hunter just – He showed off the speed. Granted, he did beat Curly Reed, who's down the depth chart a little bit right now. Talented kid, but just not
well. It wasn't bad there. Coverage.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't horrible coverage. And then he beat Thaddeus Dixon on the one in the end zone where he caught it one handed. So really good day for him. Still don't know why I can't just say his name correctly the first time.
But now that it's in our heads, I guarantee you before the end of spring, Kim and I are going to say Elijah Hunter at least once.
I have no idea why. I don't know an Elijah Hunter. I have no idea. Are they both?
No idea.
Are they both Israeli prophets? Is that why?
No, I don't know. No idea.
It's like me back in the day with Trufant.
Yeah.
I kept calling him Marcus.
Well, at least in that
But at least we
sense,
know who a Marcus Trufant is.
So,
if anybody knows an Elijah Hunter.
Make fun of me. I get it.
Put it in the comments if you know anybody named Elijah Hunter.
All right. Go ahead.
No, just Damon Williams continues to impress, the freshman quarterback who should still be in high school. And we had a chance to talk to Denzel Boston and Giles Jackson, and they were pretty effusive about him, too. It was funny. Dan Rayleigh asked Giles, because they were talking about how fast he was. So Dan asked him, is he faster than you, Giles? You could pretty much tell what that response was going to be.
No. It's a quarterback. Yeah. He's not faster than me.
Also, something really interesting, you'll get a chance to listen to the interviews that we did, but Giles was talking about, I asked him one or two things from the staff that's totally different, and he talked about they want us to eat more. And so Giles was talking about the weight he put on and Denzel talking about the weight he's put on, but that seems to be the focus, is getting size to these guys.
But they're eating good stuff, not – Yeah. Like, because I could show them how to eat and gain weight. That's easy. That's easy to do. But they're putting on good weight. I mean, these guys are about as ripped as I've ever seen some of these players coming out. And now some of that had to do with McKeefrey and his staff from last last year, but then all the stuff they've done under the new staff and their new I don't remember the name of the
Tyler Owens.
So I don't. Those guys all they've got it down to a science, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, something else interesting that I heard, and I don't know if you guys have heard this, but I haven't been able to verify this, but the new strength and conditioning coach, instead of a one-size-fit-all, they've got different programs for the different positions where they key on different positions where it's totally different per position and not just one-size-fits-all for the team.
So. Makes sense, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, now we're in that era of specialization.
I think under McKeefery, at least.
I was going to say, I would be shocked nowadays if a lineman's workout is the same as a skill guy's workout. Well, it just doesn't even make much sense.
Depending on the staff you have, how many guys you have, you know. So I don't know if the strength and conditioning staff is bigger than it was a year ago.
Well, I'm thinking these guys might even have it more tailored individual, where certain like linemen might be focused on leaning out, certain other linemen might be focused on bulk. You know, some might be working on just getting faster. You know, I could see where they could tailor individual workouts and programs to specific things. But in terms of like a one size fits all, I think that kind of went by the way of the dodo, like probably decades ago.
Yeah, getting back to DeMond Williams, does he burn his red shirt this year, Scott?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think there's any question.
How about you, Chris?
I think it's possible because, again, I think, Kim, I mentioned that idea very, very back, I think maybe in the first practice, that a lot of people have talked about packages and individual things for him, kind of in the way Marcus Tuiasosopo did back in the late 90s with Heward and just being kind of that switch-up guy. And I don't know how much of a switch-up guy, because at the same time, you got to remember he's one play away from being the next guy, the guy. And maybe even for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I think that all lends itself to the idea that he definitely would probably burn his red shirt this year.
I think that they might need him to burn the red shirt, but I think they also want him to burn the red shirt because they want who's the starter next year? It's DeMond. I'm sure they will give DeMarcius Davis a chance to show that he's ready. I'm sure they'll give maybe even a look to the portal to bring in a guy to compete with those guys as well. Plus you have Dash Byerly who will be coming in early.
Yeah.
So that quarterback room is going to be loaded with guys. But the thing, I mean, look, DeMarcius Davis could make the decision to leave for all we know. If he feels like DeMond Williams is the shoe-in, then why would he wait, right? But I think that this season, the coaches are all about, hey, if we get out to a big lead or we're way behind, we're playing DeMond because he needs the reps.
Yeah.
We need to get him live reps against Big Ten quality. I'm going to do that a lot too, by the way. Big Ten quality defensive players so that we can get him the reps that he needs to be ready to go next year.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting, too, because if you just look at them physically, Will Rogers and DeMond Williams are two very different body types. And whereas Will Rogers is more the prototypical type that Washington's had, whether you've looked at like a Jake Browning or something like that, whereas, you know, we've talked about Noah Fifita, we've talked about Jaden DeLora when talking about DeMond Williams, and he's more in line with what Fish – and Jimmy Doherty and Brennan Carroll have used the last few years. So I think they like that. And I think they feel confident that they could tailor some very specific packages just for DeMond Williams to really be a true changeup, like a real legit changeup, not just another guy coming in to run the same stuff that the number one guy would run in.
Yeah, another guy who just continues to impress, and it just seems like every practice he seems to have a wow moment, and that's Jonah Coleman. I didn't realize he was that explosive. He plants his foot and goes, and he's a load.
Don't you remember him playing against Washington last year, Kim?
He didn't do that much.
He had a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm, he did. But the thing is, so the offensive line, I mean, in order to talk about what Jonah Coleman did, because that was a great run that he had, but that was because Zachary Henning and Sione Fa'asolo on the left side. So Fa'asolo's at left tackle, Henning's at right left guard, and they opened a gaping hole for him, and he ran right through it. And, I mean, it was like they handed the ball off and he knew where he was going. And he just – he took off and probably, I don't know, what about 25, 30 yards down the field before anybody was even close to him to get him.
You know, we've talked about Giles Jackson. We've talked about Jeremiah Hunter. We've talked about Denzel Boston. But there's a wide receiver out there who every practice has made a play, and that's the walk-on Camden Sermon.
Oh, yeah.
Another touchdown today.
Yeah, and red zone work. But he did beat, who did he beat? Was it Shaw?
Well, I know he beat Josh Shaw around the corner on another play on the other side.
Yeah.
But he just he kept showing up today for sure. He was one of those guys that kept showing up for sure. Luke Lucchini had a touchdown grab.
That was a nice catch.
That was a nice leaping grab.
Decker DeGraff.
Decker DeGraff is a tight end, true freshman that has seemed to just get a little bit better every single practice. You just see him kind of every practice get a little more comfortable.
He's not going to blow you away with his athleticism or his size or his length or anything. He just knows how to run routes and catch the ball.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Camden because being a quarterback a few years ago, and didn't he play some running back as well?
Yeah.
And then now he's playing. I mean, so he knows all the positions.
The way I look at it is this staff. Now, granted, he didn't do that. Any of those other things under this staff,
right?
So this staff doesn't feel any loyalty to, hey, this guy has put in the work. But what it shows his ability to understand how to get open, understand the defense and where it is to find the soft spots and everything like that. And he's got sure hands. And that's really the biggest thing. If you can get open and you're going to catch the ball every time it's thrown your way, the coach is going to figure out a way to get the ball.
Kim, to your point, once he actually has the ball in his hands, his previous experience is going to allow him to get that yards after the catch. Because now, as a ball carrier, he's going to be able to use some of the things he learned as a running back, for instance. He just has some nous. He just has some ability. And I think this could be the year where they could utilize him in certain ways to be maybe not a security blanket for a guy like Will Rogers, but certainly a guy that could be counted on for maybe as a third down guy potential or what have you. Because there are certain guys out there that have made a living being that type of guy that Camden Sermon could be.
Well, when you have a walk-on that you say, I need you at quarterback, now I need you at running back, now I need you at wide receiver, he's played all those, he's a great kid, he's a great student, and then in addition to all of that, he's a veteran. And, you know, you get a couple of those guys, and, you know, that's where really good teams you come into play is when you've got guys like that.
Yeah, and I think recently, like a couple days ago, you spoke to Dyson McCutcheon, for instance, Kim.
Yeah.
And there's another guy, just like Sermon. You know, this will be his third coaching staff in 4 years. So he's gone through not only numerous coaching staffs, but also, like you just said, numerous position changes. That's just a guy that's kind of been through it all. And so I don't think it would be that unusual at all to see him kind of not so much break out, but kind of have this year to be the year where he really starts to make a difference.
Offensive line starting to come together a little bit, and even though we think that maybe there may be one starter there, but
there's one starter on the field right now.
I guarantee you the coaches, especially Brennan Carroll, especially Jed Fish, especially Jimmy Doherty, those guys, the fact that they have to run basically half their team periods in Skelly, it's like basically seven on, has to be the most frustrating thing ever for them. Might be the first time I've ever seen this.
Yeah, what was funny was Troy Fa'utanu was at practice, and
he could have slipped in there easy.
I asked him if he wouldn't mind throwing on some pads and getting out there.
He could have slipped in there easy.
He looks so good. I mean, he's 320 pounds, and 6'4", almost 6'5", and 320 pounds, and he looks so svelte. I'm sorry, we're getting off the rails here, but he just got back from a visit to New York, the Jets. Met with the Arizona Cardinals. So he's getting looks from a lot of different teams. And I've asked him, I said, are they taking you out to these really nice restaurants? And he goes, oh yeah, everyone. And he goes, and they have so much food. And he goes, and I said, and I'm sure they're putting a lot of food in front of you, right? And he goes, oh yeah. And he goes, trust me. He goes, I've talked to so many veterans that are like second, third year guys. And they've all said, when you're on these tours, you have to make sure you're doing cardio and working out because you don't want to show up to the mini camp out of shape. And he said it would be real easy for him to be 330, 340 pounds, very easy.
You think they're taking notes of what he's eating and how
much? Yeah, maybe. It's just everything those guys do is under a microscope right now.
Speaking of that, just real quick, the funny story he told us about Elijah Jaquette. because he said they'd have weigh-ins and Elijah wouldn't want to get on the scale. He goes, dude, I'm only 250 pounds. And Troy's yelling, eat, dude. You got to eat.
You got to eat. Yep.
He's bigger than that now.
He is. Not much. I mean, maybe 270, 275.
Yeah.
But, he's got a little bit of a gut on him.
Yeah, but it was not kind much.
Of, it was funny, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, Troy is just such a great guy to talk to. I talked to him when he was a senior in high school. That's the benefit. And hopefully we can get back to it because with NIL and these guys just being able to transfer whenever they want. I have a feeling I'm not even going to know some of these guys anymore like I do with guys like Troy Fautano, like Roger Rosengarten, where I knew them as juniors and seniors in high school and then all through their career at the University of Washington.
Well, it was also interesting with Troy. I talked to him and he said he really appreciated us because he says, you know, he goes, I wasn't used to talking, but I was forced to talk to you guys, which made me better and helped me prepare for the NFL. That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm kind of going, okay.
What was funny was he was so quiet when he talked to me. He didn't ever want to. I always had to use literary license with a lot of the stuff. And I told him, I said, before I post the story, I'm going to send it to you so you can tell me, is this what you were talking about? Is it, do you approve this quote that I'm saying? I mean, he was shy. He just didn't.
Just remember the recruit back in the day. I can't remember who it was. I think it was a running back out of LA. And after we were done, he goes, when you write this up, I'm not real smart. Can you make me sound smart?
I thought that was,
I don't remember.
I thought that was Teo Neshein. I thought it was Daniel. Daniel Teo Neshein was a brutal interview.
I don't think Daniel would have had that much awareness at that age.
He couldn't have put a sentence together that was that long.
Yeah. Love, well, no. Love the guy. It wasn't that. It was just.
He wasn't stupid. He just felt very uncomfortable talking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. But
okay, let's move on.
Anything on the defensive side of the ball, guys?
Well, I thought Elijah Jackson, he was kind of my defense. If we were picking a defensive player of the day, I think Elijah Jackson, even though he had the yellow jersey on, so he wasn't in contact or anything like that. But he had two picks, one on full team session and one on a...
For a guy in yellow, he worked out a lot.
Yeah, he did a lot. He also had a... You said it was... I saw him do the interception, but I couldn't tell. You said you thought it was a one-hander.
Yeah, they were doing like either a skelly or something kind of going into the end
zone. It was defensive install.
Yeah.
So... And then they had the offense running different plays.
Yeah, and then he caught a ball, like kind of one-handed leaping grab in the end zone. It was a great play, but, you know, it was what it was.
But I thought he had a really good day.
I thought Thaddeus Dixon actually had a really nice day. Even the touchdown to Jeremiah Hunter.
He was right there.
He blanketed him. Yeah. I mean, that was just an outrageous catch by Hunter.
And a perfect throw by Damon Williams.
Right. So I thought they had a really nice day. And guys, I know – you know, everyone's going to want to know how the linemen are doing, the edge guys are doing. But right now, with the lack of offensive linemen, I think basically it's just like a detente on the line of scrimmage. I just think that they work certain segments of the line, like in team period, they'll do like a right side rush or a left side rush. They'll work on their games and their stunts and twists and stuff. But for the most part, it's just so difficult to have any sense of anything that's going on the line of scrimmage.
And not just that, the guys who started off with the first team reps, Maurice Himes and Zach Durfee, neither one of those guys are practicing right now. So you can't really know how good anybody is doing.
Yeah, and even a guy like Isaiah Ward, I didn't know if he got banged up, but he was doing conditioning. So, who knows? I think they're just being super cautious with a lot of guys right now, and that's really shown itself, especially on the line of scrimmage.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Portal recruiting. I think everybody was expecting an explosion on Monday or Tuesday or
so
Wednesday. Or
I'm going to blame that on me because we've been and maybe a couple of the other insiders on our board that have said that things are coming, things are happening, blah, 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 all these kind of things. I should have really prepared. Chris explained it perfectly on the board. The window started on Tuesday when they could enter. That doesn't mean you were going to get a bunch of commits. That just means they can enter and then maybe go on some visits and do those different things. I think after this weekend, I expect there will be 4, 5, 6 portal commits sometime next week.
Yeah, I think the hard thing that might be, I don't know if it's become hard to grasp or it was just because we didn't explain it well enough.
I think we didn't explain
it. I think it's because there is a window, like a legitimate date. There's a start mm-hmm. date and an end date to this window that a lot of people feel like all these commitments have to happen during this window.
And they don't. You just have to enter. That's yeah. it.
Just before I forget, speaking of the portal, Vincent Holmes.
Yeah. Yeah, Vincent Holmes. He's in the portal, but he was still practicing. I don't know what that means.
What position was he?
He was a safety, well, but he was that before.
Okay, but here's the irony. The irony is we literally got an update from the guys that we deal with at 24/7 that give us all the portal updates telling us that he was officially in the portal while we were watching him practice. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so will we see him on Saturday?
Who knows?
That will be a question. Because the other thing is he wasn't even wearing the normal number he would have worn.
Well, no, he was.
So, he was in yellow, and it was like 27.
Yeah, but that's what he was wearing when he switched back from wide receiver because he was 16 in white, but he couldn't be 16. Well, or, I'm sorry, he was 16 in white, but he couldn't be 16.
Oh, see, I thought he was 18. Well, either way.
Whatever he was, yeah. He couldn't be that on okay. the defensive side. Interesting. So they just gave him one of the old practice jerseys that they used to wear.
Why not?
And that was number 27. So yeah.
No, it was just
yeah, weird. I mean, so it was weird. I remember looking
who's
over.
Who's in yellow in 27?
I know.
I have no idea.
I remember looking over, and I looked at some of the other media guys. I go, is that Vince Holmes? And they were like, yep. And I was like, what? Huh? Yeah. And but you got to remember, Cameron Williams practiced for half of a season.
Well, they needed the bodies.
They did need the bodies, but
where did he wind up?
I don't know. Oh no,
Georgia Southern
because he went there with
Will Harris.
But Will Harris is now somewhere else. Isn't
University
he?
Of Florida. Yeah, I think. Didn't Asa Turner go there
yeah.
because of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, getting back to the portal, there's going to be a lot of news coming out. It's just the thing is I'm hoping that I can put together a list for you guys to have for official visitors this weekend. I'm hoping that comes out Friday, but it might not come out till Saturday. So well, just guys, you guys have no idea how hard this is to figure out.
Well, you know when everything's going to blow up. Sunday.
Yeah, probably.
Because we're at a football camp.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's difficult.
Two of us are.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's difficult too, guys, is that because people were wondering that, you know, we posted before practice that Philip Bleedy, the Indiana defensive lineman who officially visited Washington, wasn't going to visit Oklahoma. And everyone's like, oh, that must be good news for Washington. Well, we don't know. It could be. It may not be. But the bottom line is that tells you this stuff can change so quickly. And the information that we get now that we think may be relevant maybe irrelevant, like by the time this podcast is over. Yeah. So it's just, you just have to be patient and you really have to go with the punches on this because, like I said, the information almost changes by the hour with some of these guys because they're getting pulled in so many different directions.
And we're not even talking about that, not even discounting. I'm not discounting that, but not even including those things. I'm also trying to talk to kids that I've never talked to before. You know, maybe some of the West Coast kids I had some contact with before.
But some of these kids,
I'm cold calling some of these kids that have never heard from me, and they're 21, 22 years old. Yeah. They've been through it. They don't want to talk about it. They just want to get it. It's not as easy as you guys, as it might look. And I don't think it looks easy.
They want the perks without the the work.
It's hard.
Yeah. All right. Chris Fetters, wrap it up.
Well, I just think, again, real blustery day. It started out really, really tough for the quarterback. I mean, court ball was going everywhere.
Sunshiny, blustery.
It was sunshiny, but blustery. I don't know if the wind kind of died down a little bit, even though, you know, from where I was at my vantage point, I was watching the trees half the time, and it would still look like it was blowing. But it felt like the coaches or the quarterbacks really settled down second half of practice. I think Will Rogers and Damon Williams, again, had really good practices. But, guys, this was another non-pads practice. And so when I think Saturday, when they go to full pads, we'll have a much, much better idea of what's going on. Because I guarantee you, especially, you know, hopefully they'll get some people out here. Maybe they'll go back into Husky Stadium again and they'll try to have a little scrimmaging going on. I'm kind of hoping. And then, again, Pete Carroll here, just kind of Mr. Unassuming, just walking around. You guys mentioned Jonah Coleman. Did you guys see when Jonah Coleman was palling around with Pete Carroll? Hanging out with him a little bit. I thought that was kind of funny, too.
He actually looked like somebody's grandpa.
No, he was just walking around. He was talking to Jed Fish for probably about 10 minutes and then kind of walked around like he was at practice. But, you know, they've made such a big deal about these guys like Bill Belichick and Jack Del Rio and these guys really being involved in practice. And here comes Pete Carroll, and he's just hanging out. He's just having a good time. He's just chatting guys up. He's just trying, hey, what's going on? What's up? And so it looked like he was just having a good time. But it didn't look like he was interested in doing that whole coaching bit like some of these other guys were.
Yeah, ask Pete if he's going to bring Snoop and Henry Winkler and that
crowd. You mean like he used to do back in the day at USC?
Yeah. Scott Eklund, wrap it up.
Well, just actually a bit of breaking news. D'Angelo Titialii.
Yeah.
He got his offer from the University of Washington.
And he was here today.
He was here. And what I thought was funny, that center from Portland State. So,
and is he a grad guy or does he?
I think he's a one for one. Yeah. I think same class as Tupatala, who's been retweeting all of his stuff and at UWing.
Well, because they were
federal
teammates.
Level. Yeah, they were both a federal way together. Yeah. So that's something to keep an eye on, and hopefully I'll be able to get a story on.
Reading the tea leaves on that stuff, like we would have over the years, we would kind of assume that's a done deal. But in this era, you just never know.
So, but he's a center. And Washington needs a center. Yeah. So he's actually been – I think he was at Tuesday's practice too, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, to today's practice, loved seeing Jeremiah Hunter get open, get some deep big plays, make some big plays. He's starting to show up and become the guy that I thought he was going to be when they signed him. It was good to see Jonah Coleman get out, make some plays in the running game. Damon Williams just continues to excel.
Adam Muhammad
too. So they were doing a lot with getting the running backs the ball in space. And you could see what was really kind of cool was watching how they did the combo routes, how the wide receiver would go in and the safety and corner would both go with the receiver and the tight end or the running back, but it's usually the running back, was wide open in the flat. So that was real interesting to see. But otherwise, you know, just another – I mean, we're more than halfway through practices, and it feels like the team's starting to get a idea of what they're being asked to do. And it was real interesting, too. One last thing. On Tuesday, Tristan Dunn had made a great read, great call, and got up and made a play, and Steve Belichick was in the back – of the, you know, behind the defense and yelling out, good job, 12, good job, 12, right? Well, today, Cameron Fabi-Kulanen did something along the same lines, and he was like, good job, Cam, good job. That's exactly what you need to do, you know, basically saying that. Also, Steve Belichick got hit in the face with a ball today. off of a deflection. Did you see that? Deflection.
He didn't even win.
Yeah, he didn't. He just went right about his business, but he didn't fall over like a cameraman we know. But but anyway, I thought overall good practice. It looks like the players and the coaches are starting to get some comfort level with each other and everything like that. Real interesting to see how things wrap up. But I mean, a lot of attention is going to be turning toward the draft a week from today. And the portal, which is going to be key for Washington season this fall.
Yeah, just one thing. We've been talking about basketball with Tony Bland, the former USC guy. Long story, but Jeff Goodman put out on Twitter, too, that he's expected to be named to the Washington staff. But we've been talking about that for about a week and a half, just waiting for things to happen. So look for Tony Bland at some point to be officially named to the staff of University of Washington. Like I said, Jeff Goodman just put out a tweet, but we've been talking about that for quite some time. Did take a walk through Heck Ed. First of all, it's really weird walking through Heck Ed and not seeing Will Conroy in there. That's really odd. Also saw Wesley Yates working out, and Big Frank Kepnong was also working out. So didn't get a chance to talk to any of them, and I don't think they would have told me anything anyway. So I'll try to make some phone calls and find out what's going on, so just keep it tuned here. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grenolds along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!